following message is from New Life Gillette series, God Friended Me. This week, Karen Boffman presents part two of this series.
Good morning, New Life. My name is Karen, and I am one of the pastors here, and I am so very privileged, so excited to be here and to share with you this morning. But before I get started, I do want to acknowledge that someone is absent. Pastor Mike is not in the room. That is not because he doesn't like my teaching. It is because it is summer, and summer at New Life means that our attendance is a little bit sparse. That also means that the volunteer pool that we have to draw from on any given Sunday is a little bit less than normal. And so Pastor Mike right now is downstairs teaching your fifth and sixth graders down in Kids Zone. So he is stepping in and volunteering today since I'm up here. And I just want to encourage you, if you are not already part of our volunteer team, what is holding you back? What is holding you back? There are cards on the chairs that give you all kinds of opportunities to serve here. I did a little bit of research this week on volunteerism. Here's the deal. If you are lonely, anxious, depressed, or stressed, volunteering is a powerful antidote. If you suffer from heart disease, high blood pressure, or chronic pain, volunteerism is a powerful antidote. If you want to live a longer, happier life, guess how you achieve that? Volunteering. I'm not making this stuff up. This has been scientifically proven. You want to be happier? Get a card, sign up, become a volunteer. It's a win for us because we get you on the team. It's a win for our guests and our children because they're blessed by you. And it is a win for you because it will make you feel so much better. Think about it. All right. We are in week two of a series called God Friended Me. Last week, Pastor Mike asked you a question at the beginning of his teaching, and he said, who is your best friend? And he gave us a whole list of qualities or characteristics that we should be looking for in a best friend. But here's what I want to say to you today. You shouldn't just be looking for a best friend, because best friends, friendship, is a two-way street. It's a give-and-take relationship. And so if you want that best friend that Mike described last week, the best way to do that is to become a best friend. Be that person that other people want to have a relationship with. Be a best friend. And so that's what this series is about. We're looking at some of the characteristics of friendship, the friendship that God offers to us. And then we can emulate that, become that type of friend, so that we are a best friend. Now, obviously, my husband, Paul, is my best friend. And if you know me a little bit, you know that my personality type is to be a bit of a hoarder. I prefer to call it a collector. Paul will tell you that what I collect is purses. In fact, he will tell you that I have 17 purses. But that is not fair, because I only have 15 purses, Paul. 15, I counted them this week. Okay, so now that we have that cleared up, what I really personally love to collect is friends. I love to collect friends and life experiences. I love doing life with people. And one of my very favorite people to do life with is my girlfriend, Shannon. I asked them to put a picture of Shannon up here. This is Shannon and her husband, Sam. They live in Pennsylvania, and I have known Shannon since our 13-year-olds were toddlers. So for quite a while, we've been friends. And I wish that Shannon could be here today, because if she was here today, I think you'd all instantly fall in love with her. I don't think I've ever met anyone quite like Shannon. You see,
that's because there is no one like me.
What? Are you for real? You're here?
Well, I wanted to be there in person, but your husband said it wasn't in the New Life budget to fly me out.
Honey, seriously? Okay, New Life, this is my best friend, Shannon.
Hi, New Life.
This is so incredible, and I'm speechless. Do you want to say something? Because I don't even know what to say now that you're here.
Yes. I'd love to say something about friendship. It's hard to wrap up into a couple seconds what friendship truly means with you, but friendship looks like your sister being there no matter what is going on in your life. Friendship looks like your sister telling you what you don't want to hear when you need to hear it. Friendship looks like God loving you with his hands and feet, being there on the ground when you need him the most in the form of your sister or brother. And friendship looks like this. Friendship looks like we can be thousands of miles away and still just as connected as when we're right next to each other.
Yep.
Friendship looks like this because we have the heart that loves Jesus. And your friendship can look like this too. God friended you, God friended me, God friended Karen, and we friended each other. It's nice to meet you, New Life.
Oh, man.
Enjoy Karen. She's fantastic.
Aw. And she's gone. Aw. Okay. Okay. That's really incredible to me, and I love that that just happened, because what we're going to talk about today is availability or presence in friendship. And she's that's a person I would love to be here more than anybody else. Okay, this series is really important, I believe, because Generation Z is the most connected generation that's ever walked this earth, right? So if we lined up all the generations that are kind of living right now, we have the baby boomers and then Gen X and the millennials and Gen Z, you would see that each generation has become increasingly connected thanks to the advent of our cell phones and telephones and our computers, everything, right? So we're getting more and more connected. And yet, the studies are showing us that if we took those same generations, they would tell us that they are feeling increasingly disconnected, separated, and isolated. So the more that we get connected, we're actually becoming disconnected. In fact, I would call social isolation a rampant problem in our society today. And the symptoms that we're seeing are depression, anxiety, and loneliness at just crazy, crazy levels. I think that this message today is going to share with us what is one of the most powerful remedies that we could have to this social isolation issue, and it's presence, it's availability in relationship. I'm going to jump right into a story that's found in the Old Testament in the book of Exodus 33. Before I do, I want to give you just a little bit of context. If you grew up in the church, you probably are familiar with the name Moses. There was a story of the Israelite people. They were in slavery in Egypt. And as they were there, they were starting to populate, as people do. And Pharaoh, the ruler of the Egyptians, became very fearful that these people living in his land were going to take over and overpopulate. And so in order to put the kibosh on that, he issued this decree that every firstborn Jewish male baby was to be killed. But Moses' mother was a wise and God-fearing woman, and she thought, I am not killing my baby. So Moses' mother, he was the firstborn male in his family, took her baby, and she put him in this basket, and she floated him in the Nile River, where Pharaoh's daughter just happened to be bathing. And she found this baby floating in the river, and like any young woman would do, a baby for me! Like, this is awesome! I'm going to take him home, Daddy! I found a baby in the river. What is Pharaoh supposed to do? It's his daughter. You can't say no to little girl, right? Wrapped around daddy's little finger. What's he going to do? So there's this ultimate stroke of irony in which this firstborn Jewish male baby is raised in Pharaoh's palace as Pharaoh's grandson. And later God chooses that Jewish male baby who grows up into the man of Moses to be the one who is going to deliver his people out of slavery, out of bondage, take them out of Egypt, and usher them on this journey towards the promised land. So we find ourselves at this point in the story where Moses and the Jews are on this campout in the wilderness. And God has called Moses up this mountain to have a little powwow on the top of the mountain. They're going to talk a little bit. Moses goes up there. But the Israelites start to get a little stir crazy. Their hearts start to wander because Moses was up there for 40 days and 40 nights. And they think, I don't know what's going on. And so they start to do some bad things. So bad, in fact, that God says, I am going to wipe them all off the face of the earth. I'm going to kill every last one of them, Moses. And Moses begs God, please, Lord, please do not kill your people. You promised. These are your people. Don't kill them. And so God changes his mind. And he says, okay, Moses, I'm going to go with you on this one. I'm not going to kill my people. And this is exactly where we come into this story today. Exodus 33. Read this with me. The Lord said to Moses, get going, you and the people you brought up from the land of Egypt. Go up to the land I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I told them, I will give this land to your descendants, and I will send an angel before you to drive out your enemies. I will send an angel before you to drive out your enemies. You see, God has come to Moses at this point, and he says, all right, Moses, this camp out, it's not forever. You're not staying in the desert forever. It's time to get your people and get moving. But I know what you're up against. I know that you're small, you're weak, you're not the best warriors. I know that you, Moses, you yourself are afraid, and I know that there are some nasty, nasty dudes between you and where you need to get. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to send my angel, I'm going to go before you, and I'm going to clear the way for you. Now, I brought some friends today to help me illustrate this a little bit. Since Toy Story 4 just came out, I thought that Rex and Woody should come today. God was promising to go before the Israelites. He knew what they were up against, and he knew that they were going to feel weak and scrawny and like they just couldn't do it. So he said, I'm going to go ahead of you, and I'm going to clear the way, and all you have to do is follow behind. You see, availability in friendship is a presence that goes before. It's a presence that goes before. Let's see if I'll get these guys to sit up here for a minute for us. God was showing his friendship to the Israelite people by going before them, by clearing the way, by ensuring that they would make it to their final destination. The other week, my family went on vacation, and while we were on vacation, my friend Elena came and stayed at our house with our dog. But she wasn't just our dog sitter. She also vacuumed, she did my dishes, she did the laundry, she changed the sheets and put clean ones back on the beds before she left, and she made us welcome home treats, chocolate-covered strawberries in the fridge when we got home. I was pretty impressed. So I got onto my phone. I have the Marco Polo app, which allows you to like, talk with friends, and I told my friend Shannon about Elena because they kind of remind me of each other in a lot of ways. And I want to read to you what Shannon's response was. I wrote it down like word for word. She said, I am, oh my goodness, so blessed by Elena, and I've never even met her. When you have a friend like you, the biggest thing for me wasn't even you moving away. It was, are people going to love you well? Are you going to feel comfortable there? Are you going to be able to make a home there? I can't come and give you a hug if you need one. You guys are going halfway across the country, and I can't make sure you're okay when you need me. This whole time, one of my biggest prayers has been, Lord, make them feel comfortable there. Make them feel welcome. Make them feel loved. Make them feel like they have family everywhere they turn. That is such a humongous answer to prayer. See, God came to Wyoming ahead of my family. He cleared the way for us to get these jobs here. Mike told you a little bit about that story last week. But it wasn't just the jobs. God cleared the way for us to have a home here, for us to feel welcome here, for us to have awesome people to be in relationship with here. He went before us. God, not Rex, God showed us his friendship by going before us and making the way smooth for us. Now, that's what friendship should be like. That's how we need to be in friendship. There are times when our presence in friendship is a presence that goes before. Sometimes that's very tangible. It's an action-oriented approach. I heard a story of two New Life men who were in a life group together. And one of them lost his job, was looking for a job. And so his friend went before him. He used his connections to help his buddy get a job. That's a friendship that goes before. I heard another story of a single mom who was new to our area, and she was coming to New Life, and she didn't have a home. She didn't have connections here. She didn't know where to look. And so another lady here went before her, cleared the way, and found a way to get her into a very good home at a reasonable price. It was a friendship that went before. Now, the way I have most often experienced this personally is through prayer. It's not always doing something. Sometimes the doing, the most important doing we can do, is praying. And so there have been times in my life when I have come up against something that feels insurmountable. It feels bigger than I am. Like when Isaac Smith walks in the room and you're the one on the stage. That feels insurmountable, guys. He's like the preacher of all preachers, and I have to preach today in his presence. And so what do? I get my cell phone out, and I text my girlfriends, and I say, guys, I am ill-equipped for whatever it is that I'm coming up against. I cannot do this. This is beyond Karen. I need you to be available to me in friendship and pray for me. And so my girlfriends get on their knees, they plead to God on my behalf, and they go before me to make a way for me. That's exactly what Shannon has been doing these last 2 years. I believe that Shannon has been partnering with God through her prayers and his provision to make a home here for us, to make a job here for us, to make me feel like this is exactly where I am supposed to be living, and these are exactly the people that I am supposed to do life with. I think that God wants a friendship with every single one of us. And he's going before you to prove it to you. In fact, he's already gone before you to prove it to you. Let's look at the book of Romans, chapter 5, verse 6 says, when we were utterly helpless, we were up against it and we could not make it through on our own. The chasm of sin separated us so far from God, there was no way we could be in a relationship with him. When we were there, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Jumping down to verse 11. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. You see, there was nothing we could do to get ourselves back in relationship with God. And God knew that. So he went before us. He cleared the way. He made a way for us to not just be in relationship with him as our Lord and as our Savior, but for us to be friends of his. He made the way for us. And he goes before you all the time. I think it's possible that we just aren't noticing it. You know, you put an offer on a house and the seller brings back this counteroffer, and then you counter it, and they accept it, even though you know it's kind of a ridiculous counteroffer. They accept it. That's not dumb luck. That is God going before you in friendship. You apply for a job, and you know, I'm not really qualified for this one, but I'm just going to throw my hat in the ring, and you get the job. That's not luck. That is God going before you, making a way for you to get to where he wants you to be. Students, you survive finals week. That's God going before you. He made a way for you. That is God extending his hand of friendship to you. If you want to be a best friend, be like God. Be available by going before. If it is in your power to step into a situation and go before a friend and make the way for them, do it. And if that is not within your power, then get down on your knees, because that certainly is. Go before the Lord and beg him to be merciful and act on your friend's behalf to make a way for your friend where they don't know that there is a way. Let's jump ahead a few verses in the story. It was Moses' practice to take the tent of meeting and set it up some distance from the camp. Everyone who wanted to make a request of the Lord would go to the tent of meeting outside the camp, jumping to verse 11. Inside the tent of meeting, the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend. Isn't that crazy? It says that Moses would take his little pop-up tent, he would go outside of the camp, set up his tent, crawl inside, sit down, and have a powwow with God. God would show up in his tent. God, Yahweh, the Lord Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who could smite any of us in a second. And they would sit in this tent and have a face-to-face conversation as if they were friends. Now it says, as one speaks to a friend, right? So that means they're not really friends. It's just kind of like they were friends. No, I think they were really, truly friends. Let's look at verse 12. One day, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you haven't told me whom you will send with me. You have told me, I know you by name, and I look favorably on you. I know you by name, and I look favorably on you." Now, those last two phrases indicate friendship. Let me explain. I know you by name. In ancient Hebrew Jewish culture, your name was your identity. It spoke to who you were. So if someone said, "I know your name," they meant, "I know you. I know all about you." Let me give you an example. My husband has nicknames for our two daughters. Our older daughter's name is Kalena, and from the day she was born, he called her Sweetie. It is the most apt nickname he could have possibly given her, because I don't think you will ever meet a sweeter, kinder, more gracious, compassionate girl. It is who she is, and she has a sweet tooth. Then there's our other daughter, Valerie. For several years now, Paul has been calling Valerie Nails. That is because Valerie is tough as nails. That girl will get things done. Don't stand in her way. Do not underestimate her size. She is tiny, but she is strong and fierce. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, the staff were at a picnic up at the fishing lake, and we needed to move one of those huge, long metal picnic tables. And so Mitch went to one end to pick it up, and guess who went to the other end? By herself. Nails Boffman. She went to the other end to lift the table, and they moved that table back into place. And I really don't want to embarrass Mitch too much, but guess whose end was further off the ground? Yeah, she is tough. So those nicknames speak to who our girls are, right? So when God is saying, "I know you by name, Moses," he's saying, "Moses, I know you're that adopted kid who's always struggled with his identity. I know that you're the stutterer who can't always get his words out clearly, who feels a little insecure when he has to talk in front of people. I know, Moses, that you've got a bit of a temper. But guess what? You and me, we're good. I know you, and I look favorably on you. That means I like you. I have chosen you to be the one to deliver my people. We're okay, you and me. We are buddies." And so they went into this tent, and they sat face to face, and they talked like friends. And this is how God and Moses got to know each other intimately. They sat and they talked. Availability in friendship is a face-to-face presence. Guess what? That face-to-face presence, that relationship that Moses and God had in the tent, it wasn't just available to Moses. It's not only available to pastors or those who grew up in the church or those who got their act straight last week. No, this kind of face-to-face relationship is available to each and every one of us. And thanks to the work that Jesus did on our behalf, we don't have to set up a little tent anymore. We can talk to God wherever we are. I can be jumping on the trampoline in my backyard and having a conversation with God. You can be sitting in your living room and talking face to face with the maker of heaven and earth. You can drive to work and talk to God. You can sit on your toilet and talk to God, guys. It doesn't matter where you are. We can have this kind of face to face relationship with God. God shows us how to be friends. So if we want to be the best kind of friends, we need to imitate this. We need to emulate this in our relationships. Face-to-face Availability is what we need to have in our friendships. It has a relational component. We do life together, right? So we play basketball together. And while we do, we share our hopes and our dreams. We sit at the playground and watch the kids play. And we share our idiosyncrasies and our quirks. We go out to coffee with a friend and we share our deep struggles. That is how we overcome this isolation issue that we have in our society. We need to get face to face with each other. Last month, my brother-in-law came and he brought his family with him, which meant a whole bunch of teenage boys. And so the teenage boys, his boys, and all of our kids were sitting in the backyard one evening. They decided to have a campfire. And I went out, even though I'm not a teenager, I kind of feel like I fit in anyway. So I went out and sat down with them, and what I witnessed was some of the most beautiful friendship I've ever seen in my life. The oldest cousin there was asking all of the other kids questions, hard questions, like, fill us in on everything that's happened in the last 3 years since I saw you. And what are you afraid of? Like, what's your greatest fear? What are you most proud of? And these teenagers sat around this campfire, and they were so real with each other. And they were so present with each other. And it was an amazing illustration of friendship and what friendship should look like. That's how my friendship is with Shannon. We used to do everything together. We would ride back and forth to basketball practices and talk. We would sit by her pool while the kids splashed and talk. We would clean each other's houses. I'm not gonna lie, that would be bad. We would clean my house. Her house was always clean. And we would talk. We talked and we talked and we talked. And even though now we live thousands of miles apart, we use our phones with FaceTime and Marco Polo, and we can still see each other face to face, and we can see the emotions and what the other one's feeling, and we talk, and we are in relationship with each other. I really hate to break it to you guys. Facebook isn't friendship. Neither is Twitter or Instagram or Snapchat. These are all forms of spectatorship. You see, what happens on these forms of social media is that we post the parts of our lives that we want to have seen, and then our so-called friends watch from the outside. It's sterile, and it's edited, and there are way too many filters. And they're scary, guys. That does not look human. Okay. It's not friendship, it's spectatorship. Availability and friendship requires a face-to-face friendship. We have to be face-to-face. We have to have deep, meaningful conversations. If you aren't, you might be in some sort of relationship with that person, but it is not called friendship. Friendship requires face-to-face time. So if you are feeling lonely or isolated, I encourage you, get face-to-face with God. Get face-to-face with a friend. Put the phone down and be with someone. This is how we draw ourselves out of isolation. Let's move on in the story. Verse 12 says, one day Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me, take these people up to the promised land, but you still haven't told me whom you will send with me. You've told me I know you by name and I look favorably on you. If it is true that you look favorably on me, let me know your ways so I may understand you more fully and continue to enjoy your favor. And remember that this nation is your very own people. The Lord replied, I will personally go with you, Moses, and I will give you rest. Everything will be fine for you. I will personally go with you, Moses. So God isn't just saying, I'm going to go before you. I'm going to clear the way. God's not just saying, I'm going to sit with you and I'm going to be your face-to-face friend. God's saying, you and me, we're in this together. Like, let's put our arms around each other and go for a walk. We are going to do this side by side. Availability and friendship is a side by side presence. You see, it's walking together. It's doing life together. It's encouraging each other, supporting each other. It's saying, guess what? You got a friend in me, and I'm gonna go with you. And then you do it. Even when life gets hard, even when it gets messy, it's walking with your friend, through life, doing it together. I love this song. It's in my head all week. But if you listen to it and really listen to the words, that's exactly what this talks about. It talks about this friendship that even though life gets messy and hard, you're going to be together. I believe that the four most powerful words that you can share with a friend are, I am with you. I am with you. And this is exactly what God was saying to Moses in this moment. And this is exactly what God says to all of you. I am with you. I am with you. You are never alone. Remember a little bit ago, I said, we don't have to set up the tent in the backyard to talk to God anymore. Well, guess what? You and I, we are the tent. You see, that's what happened when the Holy Spirit came. He comes and he lives inside of us. God makes his residence inside of us and he goes with us wherever we go. The Holy Spirit, he's the one that the Bible calls the comforter, the counselor, the advocate. That sounds like the best kind of friend you could ever have. And he will never, ever leave you. Never. He goes with you, side by side, makes himself available to you. Maybe today you are feeling lonely, and the only words you need to hear today are, God is with you. You are not alone. You can have this side-by-side friendship with God, who will walk with you through your triumphs and your trials and every mundane moment in between. Now, none of us can be that kind of friend. None of us can be available 24/7, 365 to our friends. Trust me, I have tried and it did not go well for me or my friends. The best thing you can do in friendship is to point your friends to the true God, the one who is with them at all times, and then make yourself available when you can be available. Because friendship means that we do life together. When I was pregnant with Daniel, I ended up on bed rest for the last 11 miserable weeks of the pregnancy. I laid on my couch on my side and pouted a lot. But what made it even worse was the fact that we were about to move. And so I was supposed to be packing up my house, and I could not do that. And so Shannon came, and she put a little arm around me, and she said, "Guess what, Karen? We're in this together. I am with you." And she packed up my house for me. And I've had the privilege of being that kind of friend to her, the friend who walks beside her through whatever comes. When her grandmother died, I sat with her and I helped her write her eulogy. When her daughter got very sick and she had to travel to appointment after appointment after appointment, so many that her husband couldn't take off work to go anymore, I went with Shannon and Emma to scads of appointments. And 4 years ago tomorrow is the day that Shannon had to have her head cracked open to have a traumatic brain surgery. She still is missing a piece of her skull because of it, because her skull was pushing on her spinal cord and causing a lot of neurological issues. And so as they were preparing for this surgery, the doctors told her that, of course, loss of life was a real possibility. But what scared us even more is that what she could have lost was her personality. Because of where the surgery was taking place, it could have altered forever who Shannon was. She could have come out of that surgery and been an entirely different person, and we really like her the way she is. And she said, "Karen," she just told me this recently, "you know, the thing that allowed me to go into that surgery in peace was your presence. Karen, it was because you were there, and I knew you were going to be in that waiting room with my family. And so if someone was scared or was having trouble, you were going to be there with them. And if someone needed someone to pray with them, Karen, you were going to pray with them. And if something awful happened when I was in surgery, you were going to walk side by side with my family through whatever came. You see, it was my availability in friendship that allowed her to have peace as she went into this horrific surgery." Friendship, the kind that we call best friendship, requires a side-by-side availability. You do life together. So I ask you today, who are you doing life with? Who do you invite into your home? Who's allowed to open your fridge and get food out? Whose home do you go to? Whose kids' soccer games do you watch? Whose kids' dance recital do you watch? Guys, that is a snooze fest if I've ever seen one. 3-year-old dance recitals. If you are going with a friend to that, that is side-by-side availability. What friend would you allow to check your head for lice? Whose lawn would you mow if they got injured? Who would you allow to come into your house and do your laundry while you were on vacation? Let me give you a little piece of advice. Elena makes welcome home treats. Shannon may possibly have turned every piece of our white laundry pink one time. Choose wisely, choose wisely. Now, I skipped a little bit of this story, and I want to back up a little bit. The reason I skipped it is because it doesn't really feel like it fits in this awesome passage of how God is our friend. It says, go up to this land that flows with milk and honey, but I will not travel among you, for you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I did, I would surely destroy you along the way. When the people heard these stern words, they went into mourning and stopped wearing their jewelry and fine clothes. Doesn't really sound like friendship. In fact, it sounds kind of like the opposite, like God's really angry with them. But we've all been there, haven't we? Haven't you had a friend where one of you has just hurt the other? And you kind of get angry about it? That's where God is right now. You see, he is their friend, but at this moment, he's been so hurt that he's a little bit angry with his people. Verse 5 says, for the Lord had told Moses to tell them, you are a stubborn and rebellious people. If I were to travel with you for even a moment, I would destroy you. Remove your jewelry and fine clothes while I decide what to do with you. Almost sounds like a mad parent, right? Like, go to your room while I decide what's coming next. God's saying, you got to give me a moment here. You got to give me a moment, people, because while I was talking to Moses, while I was telling him how you were going to be my people, how we were going to do this God and Israelite thing, you guys betrayed me. You know what they did while Moses was up there? They took the earrings, the gold earrings out of their ears, and they gave them to Aaron, and they said, here, melt these down and make us an idol. And so they had started worshiping an idol. Their hearts had grown cold. They turned from God. They were no longer available in present in friendship to God. While God was talking to Moses, and they should have been eagerly anticipating, what does God have to say to us? They turned their backs and they wandered. And so jewelry was the thing that represented the distance between them and God. God says, take off your jewelry. I don't want to see it anymore because it's the thing that stands between you and me right now. It represents your turning. A couple months ago, I was ushering. I stood right back there by that box on the wall, welcoming people to worship, and the music started. And so I was standing there, and I had my travel mug in my one hand, and I had my other hand raised in worship. And as I stood there worshiping God, I heard him say, Karen, put your mug down. Put my mug down? Karen, put your mug down. Okay. God says it, you do it, right? So I put my mug down, and then God says, Karen, I want both your hands. Both hands in the air. Now, I'm not here to tell you today that God wants both your hands in the air or that he doesn't want you to bring coffee to worship. How you worship is between you and him. But for me, in that moment, this mug represented a God of comfort or an idol of comfort and convenience. And it was holding me back from being fully immersed in worshiping God. I was too focused on what I was doing to fully be in God's presence, worshiping my Creator, and experiencing friendship with him. It was a distraction. My kids and Paul and I are reading a book right now by John Mark Comer. It's called God Has a Name. I highly recommend it. In the book, he says this, in secular society, the gods become non-spiritual, money, sex, power, more followers on Twitter, flatter abs, anything that takes the place of God in your heart. The temples become shopping malls and sports stadiums and Senate chambers. Worship becomes the sacrifice of money or time or your health or your family or your virginity or whatever it costs you to get what you want out of life. You see, we're not so unlike those Israelites, are we? We're an awful lot like those Israelites. We may not melt down our earrings and make little golden calves that we worship, but we have a lot of other things that we give our hearts to. The telephone is a major distractor in our society. I've already mentioned it, but I'm going to say it again because recently I stood and I talked with a friend and we hadn't seen each other for quite a while and we only had a few minutes to catch up and I really wanted to hear what was on her heart. And so as I'm talking to her, she's holding her phone and it chirps and it chirps and it chirps. And every time it chirped, she looked at it again and again and again. And she was completely distracted from the face-to-face conversation that we were trying to have. But I think if we're honest, most of us have done that, right? We've been that friend that has been distracted from the relationship that is in front of us by the notifications that are coming through that device in our hand. The phone represents a modern convenience that has become an idol and a major distractor, and it takes away from our friendships. And I'm not going to tell you what you need to do today, but I think most of us have something that's coming between us and God. We have something that is distracting us. We have something that's distracting us from the friendships, from the people, from our families that are right in front of us. So what I am going to encourage you to do is go before God and ask, what is it that is distracting me from being present and available? God, what is it? And maybe he's going to tell you, you know what? You need to leave your phone on the charger in the morning until we have had face-to-face time. Maybe he's going to tell you, like Moses, take off your shoes, and it's going to sound utterly preposterous. Put down your mug, Karen. Okay, God. Maybe he's going to tell you, turn off the television. Turn off your notifications. Maybe he's going to say, you need to go on a social media fast so that you can be present with people around you. I don't know what God is going to tell you to do, but I believe that if you ask him, he will let you know what it is that's distracting you. And then it's up to you to be obedient. I'm not sure if any of you saw last week on Facebook, on the New Life Gillette group, that Grant has been making some phone wallpaper screens. I don't know what you call them, lock screens. I've asked them to throw these up here for us to look at real quick as we wrap up. He's making these, and you can go on the New Life Gillette group on Facebook or get them on our app, and you can pick one. We have four this week, and they represent these things that we've been talking about. What is it that your friendships are lacking? Do you need to go before a friend? Do you need to clear the path? Do you need to pray for someone? Or maybe you need to get face-to-face. Maybe you've been doing so much through your phone that all your relationships are is a text back and forth. I caught myself texting my kids in my own house the other day. Get face-to-face, sit together, talk. Or maybe you need to do that side-by-side thing. Maybe you need to pull some people into your life and do life together and support each other. Maybe you're just really distracted right now. God's saying, take off your jewelry, put down the distractions, and get focused. These are an awesome way for us to remember this message and to think about our friendships and to be intentional in getting rid of this social isolation epidemic. If you want to feel connected, if you don't want to feel lonely, pour into your friendships. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you that you are a God who has gone before us in friendship. You have shown us the way. You have made a way for us to be friends, and you make a way for us to be friends with each other. Lord God, I pray for anyone here who is feeling lonely, who is feeling disconnected. Father, pour out your love upon them. Make them brave that they might dive into friendship with you and with others. Lord, we thank you that wherever we walk, you go with us. In your Son's name, amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.